through Christ dying on the cross, he has paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. We have a great ability to serve him wherever we're at.
Well, yes, I'll introduce my family here. We'll get everything going. And I just appreciate so much the welcome that we have here. It's a blessing for us to be here and participate with you all. We are very, very thankful that the Lord has been taking care of us through all of our travels. We've been traveling quite a bit lately, as missionaries tend to do. We got to the United States at the beginning of May. We got into Missouri, which is where I'm from. And then from there, we were there for about a month. And then we went to Panama for a conference in Panama, the country. And then from there, we started our trip to drive up here. And we've stopped various places. And we're excited about that. We're going to be doing a reunion with Julie's family because she's the Maynard. She's one from this area, even though she grew up in Brazil. And so we will be headed then down the East Coast all the way through Georgia and then to Florida and then back through Missouri. So we plan on being in the States until next January of 2025. So we are going to be here for a while, and we've got to raise some more support, and we've got a lot of going on, but a lot of good things. So if we get the PowerPoint up there, I'll show you my family too. You can see them here. I'll ask you, why don't you guys all stand so that you can see them? Yes, I see. There's all my family here. They're the ones that we traveled, like he said. The only one there is, see the picture, I think it was taken last week, of Michaela in the flowers. She's at Echo Ranch Bible Camp, which is a Avant Ministries camp where she is a counselor up there. This is her third year. She loves it so much. She's actually considering going on staff full time. So she's a camp counselor there, and she's doing well. We don't get to talk to her a whole lot because they have very limited internet there. So kind of a mission situation for her. And then you can see Samuel. Samuel's the man of many hats. And we see Samuel. He's going this year, will be attending Calvary University. It used to be Calvary Bible College in Kansas City. And that's where Julie and I also graduated from. And so we'll be dropping him off in August. And then you've got Lily. Lily is our Brazilian. She's Brazilian through and through. She was born in Fortaleza, which is the big city right outside of where we live. We actually go interior, and I'll show you those places a little bit too. So I'm going to kind of do an update slash sermon too. So we'll see how the Lord's working and what he's doing in our lives. And then you've got the smallest, but not the least, definitely not the least energetic, that's Levi. And Levi will be 9 in September. So, 10 in September. I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's right. Great. He is 9 in August and will be 10 in September. So yes, that's my kids. So yes, that's, and just a little bit about where we're at in Brazil, because we are in a transition period. So we've been in Brazil for about 15 years. So we've been with Avant even longer than that, you know, as raising support and everything. But you guys have been with us for that amount of time, for almost since we actually landed there in 2008. I put up there 2009 because it was late in December 2008. So you can see in that little yellow dot, there are 3 stars. And just so that you know, the red dot is Fortaleza. That's a city of 5 million people. So that's the big city, and that's where I learned Portuguese. And Julie's parents planted a seminary there. They're part of a seminary plant there. If you know George Hicks, he lives out in Herman, and they're now retired, but we went that from the red dot to the yellow area. It's about 4.5-5 hours with really rough roads that are much better than they used to be. We helped work with a church in Croatá. That's where we've been for about 14 years. And that's where we didn't know anybody there. We just moved there. We rented a house and we started. We're in the radio listening area, but it didn't even really get really good signal in Croatá. So we now have turned that over to a Brazilian pastor. And then down toward the south of that, Nova Russas is the, let me see, I got a laser here. Does it work? Okay, well, Nova Russas is the lowest star, and that's about 1.5-hour drive, so that's how close those are together. And that's where we're living now, because in between there, we're looking at working with a team from a Brazilian church to plant a church in a town called Ipueiras. So all of that to say that's where we are transitioning. We've been there for about a year, meeting the church, getting to know the people, and our next move will be go back there and start a team so that we can work with a team this time instead of just by ourselves. And we're really excited about that because we really like the church. We really like the people there. They've been a big blessing to us. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians 12, and we're going to go through some of the scriptures here as we go through telling you a little bit about what the Lord has been doing through us in Karatha and then in Novohusis and then on to Ipueda's. But there's some scriptures here that in Corinthians that I thought were interesting. And Paul spoke of it in such a way that it's kind of talking about his mission crusades and what he's been doing and about being an apostle and a lot of the difficulties that he went through. And I think that we all have our own difficulties. We all have our own walk, and we can learn some really important things through this. Now, I used to work in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force in Charleston Air Force Base down in South Carolina. I was there for 4 years. And when I worked on the planes, we had things like that bolt you have there. It's called the breakaway bolt. Now, that's not from an aircraft. That's actually from fire hydrants have that type. The street signs have that type. And something unique about all these things, and you got a plastic bag with little tears in the end, and you have perforations on a box. Each one of these things have a weakness in them. And that weakness is what makes these items useful. It's what makes them useful. And I think we sometimes don't realize that we too have weaknesses that can be useful to God. Matter of fact, without these weaknesses in these items, the product, it would not be helpful to us. So there's built-in weaknesses to make it useful. And Paul talks much about that. So let's come before the Lord. Let's ask him to open our minds and our hearts as we apply these passages to our lives. Lord, we praise you, Lord. We know, even through the songs we've sung tonight or this morning, we think about how great you are, Lord, and what you're doing. And even in one of the songs says, we don't always understand what you're doing. And I know in the difficulties we go through, Lord, we don't know what's going on all the time. We don't even understand all of our country, what it's going through, and the world picture. But we desire to serve you, Lord. We desire to bring your word to the nations and even to just our neighbors. Lord, we pray that you will show us, open your scriptures to us, open your word to us, that we'll hear your voice speaking to us, Lord. That we will be able to shut out maybe the other things that are going on in our heads, the plans we have, Lord, and that we will be able to turn our lives over to you, hear where you're guiding us, Lord. We know that you used Paul in such great ways, Lord. We want to be able to understand what he wrote to the Corinthians and also to us, that we can have your word and apply it to our lives in such a way, Lord, that we are changed. We don't remain the same way we are, Lord. We want to be transformed by your word, that we can follow you, Lord, that we can hear you. We pray that you bring us close to you, touch our lives, touch our minds, touch your word upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to go through some of these verses here, and I won't have the time to go through the whole chapter of chapter 12, so I think I was just going to go to start with verse 7. So Paul talks about the weaknesses, and now he's got a reason for this. I'll give a little context to what's going on. Paul has to prove himself to the Corinthians for some strange reason. The Corinthians didn't seem to want to totally fall in line to Paul and recognize him as an apostle. He wrote one letter to them, that's 1 Corinthians, and now it seems to be that there are some people criticizing him, maybe even saying that he isn't really a true apostle. And so Paul's got to prove himself. And I think sometimes we got to be really careful in life that we don't spend too much time to proving ourselves, and Paul doesn't want to spend a lot of time. As a matter of fact, he says, I'm crazy to go on like this. And he starts talking about everything that has happened to him that brings him to the point that he is to that day.
And sometimes we as missionaries want to say, oh, this has happened. And it sounds like only bad things. Or we go to the other extreme and say, oh, yes, this is all the good things that are happening. And we don't really let people in to show us that we have weaknesses, we have difficulties, and we want to say we're just real people too. And Paul is finding himself speaking about himself, it seems, more than he really even wants to. And he says, I'm not even going to boast about myself in any of these things. What I'll do is I have weaknesses, then I'll boast about my weaknesses. You think that I have weaknesses? I'll tell you, I have problems. I have difficulties. A matter of fact, he speaks about a weakness here that he prayed for God to take away from him, but God decided not to. And we think, wow, a man who is known to do miracles can't even heal himself in that way. But that's purposeful. That's true, and God is teaching us through it. Let's go to verse 7 there, and I'll just read the first couple of verses, 7 through 9. To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, let's stop there and look at that, because if you have weaknesses, I know through going to the mission field that I've seen a lot of my own weaknesses come out. Because if you want to see your weaknesses come out, you test them, right? You put yourself into a situation that is difficult, and suddenly you'll say, wow, I don't know if I'm really good at this. And people have asked, has it been hard on the mission field? I said, my goodness, it's not the most difficult thing. It's like the 5 most difficult things I've ever done in my whole life all put together. You know, learning another language, going to another culture, trying to teach people in their culture and learn about them. And in January, this picture up here is, I'm handing a staff or a kind of a rod over to Polycarp. That's Pastor Polycarp. He's the one who has taken over the church that we planted in Croata. That's what you have been a part of for many years. So we've been working with kids there. We work with youth. We've had a lot of difficulties and a lot of things that I think that we've actually done wrong. And it's so cool that we can actually, now that we're looking at planting another church, we're like more mature. We've learned through a lot of the problems. We said, we're not going to repeat a lot of the stuff. That's why I'm working with the Brazilian church. I said, I'm not going out there by myself, Lone Ranger again. He said, that was hard and also not really productive when you have to come home on furlough and you shut everything down and then you got to start it all back again when you come back. You don't have anybody there to help out. So we've learned through that. And as I pass the baton over to Polycarp, and this is a part of what they call a tomando passe in Portuguese. That means giving command over to the new individual. It's something that we don't really do as much here, but when you have another pastor coming in and another one leaving, it kind of shows that the reins are going over to this one. Don't be looking to the other one for your leadership. Now, we are still there to help out when we can, but we do physically even move away because it helps the church assume to the new pastor there. And as I passed it over, I even felt a lot of those weaknesses coming through. Man, the church isn't the way I'd like it. The people aren't as mature as I'd like them. There's not enough people. How are they going to support this pastor? They're very poor. And it's very difficult. And then I thought of this, out of these verses here, and I say, the believer's acceptance, we are accepted, our acceptance is found in the grace of God alone. It's not in what we do. We don't want to do good works for God. We want to do those things because we have salvation. But our acceptance is in Christ. All that we have is in Him. So our weaknesses and our difficulties that we go through, God won't take a lot of them away. He actually wants to use them where you are at. He says, no, if you're looking to be sufficient, you're not going to find it in yourself. Now, I know each one of you may have a different weakness. We're kind of individual snowflakes like that.
right? I have trouble spelling. I'm so glad for spell check, because if I put these things up there and you've seen how I spell, and one day I can spell well, and another day I'm just terrible at it. And so that's a blessing. And sometimes I don't know if all little like messaging things have spell checkers on them, and I send off things that I wish I could delete and call back. But that's a difficulty. Portuguese, oh my goodness, I am the only man missionary on our field and with all our missionaries there that was not raised in Brazil. So I came there with 37 years old to learn Portuguese. And I got Portuguese down. I know I can communicate, I can teach, but I, you know, misuse genders of words, have genders, so you don't know what one is, or you go and you misconjugate a verb. It's difficult. I have a total respect for people that come from other countries into our country, and they have to learn English and then adapt to our culture here, because it is difficult to speak other languages. And it's complicated. And imagine praying in another language. It's complicated. But can God use it? You better believe he can. I don't know how he uses our weaknesses. I don't know how he's used the weaknesses that we've gone through. Even sometimes we mess up. But you know what? God's got grace on us, right? We know he has grace unto our salvation. That got us salvation. We're really good at teaching that. But what about our daily living? God's got a lot of grace, you know? Through Christ, we walk in God's daily grace, and we are suffice in him. Through Christ dying on the cross, he has paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. We have a great ability to serve him wherever we're at. It's a great thing. So we learn we can serve him. We can serve him if we're depending totally on him. There are some people that depend on parents. Their parents are going to be their, even adults. They go to their parents to hear and get their approval. There are some people that go to their spouse. And you can't go to that. Your spouse will eventually fail you. They cannot have that love for you that can only be met in Christ. So in the end, we go to Christ. Now, one thing we've learned about on the mission field, and you learn that there are different cultures. And when Julie and I started in Brazil, we would go talking, inviting people to a Bible study. And we'd say, come to this Bible study. And they'd say, all right, I'll be there. And we'd be like, oh, we have 10 people coming to this Bible study. Julie would make brownies, had the brownies ready. I'd get all the chairs all ready, get some Bibles ready. And then we'd wait, and nobody would show. And you sit there with these chairs and these brownies and go, what did we do wrong? Did we offend people from another culture? What did we do wrong? And we started to learn that actually the Brazilians will tell you what you want to hear, just not to offend you and tell you what you don't want to hear. They knew we wanted to hear, yes, we'll come. But we started learning that. That's difficult. Now, on this slide here, you'll see there's three people groups. This is kind of, somebody has come and put this together. So if you ever go into missions, this was very helpful for us. Because there are different cultures, and when you learn different cultures, you don't ever change the gospel, but you may change the way you present it to them, okay? The gospel remains the same. Christ is sufficient in every culture, but how you approach them is going to change, and that's what we've learned, and that's one of the changes we will make, because we've made mistakes with this before. These three different cultures worldwide, now this isn't totally inclusive. Some cultures may be part of one and part of another of these three cultures. So the idea is you bring it and you have the vision of reaching the culture by the way that they can see. One is guilt and innocence. That falls more individualistic, like laws are made, and you are found guilty if you break a law. That's pretty much where we're at in the United States. That's what we think about. And we see how Christ is the answer for that, because we were guilty for transgressing the law, right? All are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And
we can be set free by Christ because he paid the penalty for our sins. But then you see that there's other ones that are shame and honor. So collectivistic, it says there, it's because the community will judge the people. Like you'll see this in a lot of the Eastern cultures, where if you've brought dishonor to the family, then you are an outcast. They actually throw you out. Or if you've shamed them, then they say, oh, forget it, you're gone. We don't have a lot of that in our culture. We don't see that a lot here. So that helps us to understand other cultures that you start to use different terms like adoption, right? Where through Christ, we are adopted as sons and daughters. So that's a great thing in a shame-based culture where you're going to be brought to be an honorable position. You are now a son of God. That's great. It's great in our culture too, but it's really understood in this other cultures. And then there's fear and power, which is a more animistic, which we do see some of this in Brazil. That's where the powers, they're always trying to manipulate the powers of darkness. And they even have white and black magic there that they believe that they can mix things together like a white magic. They say, oh, this is where we can do some kind of manipulate the powers to bring about good things for us. The black magic would be where we manipulate things for bad. Now, all of it's wrong, but you can see where Christ dying on the cross, and we talk about that we have power over death in the songs, right? So we see why that would even mean more to that culture. So one of the things we'd like to do is to really reach people with these understandings and say, how could I change maybe the way I present things to lead these people to Christ? This is a verse that helps us to understand. And if you go to 1 Peter 1 here, I'll read it off here. In all this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So all of our difficulties, and God has a purpose. He doesn't waste those things. He will teach us to how to work through our problems, our difficulties, and not only that, he will use them. And we know that if he is really good, which he is, and he's taking care of us, and he will never allow bad things to happen without purpose. Now, we may not know, but if we're resting in him, we understand 100% that we are totally sufficient in Christ. Another thing that we understand through Christ in these verses here, through the second part of verse 9, it says, the believer's strength is built with the strong hand of God and the weak hand of man. This is what he said. He said in that part, that the verses that Christ said to him, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in pretty much your weakness, right? His power is made perfect in weakness. So sometimes this weaknesses that we have are exactly what God wants to show. We are sufficient in him. We are stronger in him. He will actually use these difficulties to bring about his word, not the way we think. In this picture here, I was a key speaker at a conference that we had. It was a camp. And this was Barbara. She was a young girl that came from the South. I've never met her until this camp. She had a family praying for her. She came and made a decision. She was the only person at this whole camp that came to make a decision for the Lord. And I got to lead her to the Lord, but I did absolutely no legwork in bringing that about. I was just there and being the preacher at this time. God didn't need me in any way. I was available to be used. And sometimes we want to present these things. So in these past 6 months, she is really the only one that I can think of during this time that actually had made a decision for Christ. Oh, there was a young boy too. But during this time, we want to count people coming to Christ as missionaries, but that's not the point. God didn't need none of my work for this. Matter of fact,
I really had to study and work because I wanted those the messages we had. I had four messages to preach during that time, during that week. And you're doing it in a camp environment where it is hot. Now, I'm surprised it's so cold up here. I was shocked. I think you need to talk to your climate and tell it it's June. I don't know how it's so cool up here. We are actually in the part of Brazil that we're at. It's very arid. It's considered kind of a desert region. A lot of cactus. And right now, in our house in Brazil, it'd be over 80 degrees. So it is a hot place. This camp is very hot. It's a very difficult place to be. You have, during these, I preached in the evenings, so I would constantly have bugs flying in my mouth and my face. They stand right under a light, and it is difficult. So I'm thinking, how can the Lord use this? But he does. And a matter of fact, people watch and people see what you're doing. And when you go through difficulties, when you go through problems, he will use those things. He will not just sometimes take us out of those situations. He will use them for his glory. And that is when we realize that our weaknesses are exactly what God wants to use. So we can't be with excuses, really. We don't have excuses for not serving the Lord. And I remember the story in John chapter 9 of the blind man, right? The blind man comes here. This guy's been blind from birth. And if you think that's a hard enough life, people are asking, well, it's obviously blind because he sinned, right? There's got to be a bad thing happened to him because it must mean that he did something wrong because God wouldn't have bad things happen to us. But Jesus corrected them, right? In verses 1 to 3, it says, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he might be born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So he was actually blind so God could use him. Otherwise, we wouldn't be 2,000 years later reading about what happened to him. So that's a great thing. And I'm telling you, that some of the difficulties we went through when we were in Croatá, during COVID time, we had a pastor we thought was going to come on staff or come on and be the pastor of the church. He decided, no, he wasn't coming. That was difficult for us. I mean, he stayed around till COVID hit. That was difficult. We were just started a program in the public schools of teaching the children morals through the Bible. And so we just started that up. We did three classes of that. That shut down. We were left during this time going, we can't do anything. How do we serve? We're like, I don't know, Lord, I don't know how you're going to use this. But this difficulties, he will use. These problems teach us now to be stronger in what we can do. We've actually decided a lot of these things that we did back then, what some of the things that we want to change too is not only working with a church, but we want to have more prayer support because the prayers that you guys have given they're super valuable to us. The financial support we're not there without the financial support, but we could be going through a lot more difficulties without the prayer support too. And we've got a list if you want to sign up back there on the back table. I'll say that now because I'll probably forget it toward the end. But the prayers that we receive from here are valuable to us. They're invaluable in so many ways because there were times when we were like going, we're done. We're gone. We came back to the States and Julie was declared with a burnout situation. And we were told, no, this situation of you guys in Croatá, we need to come to a finality of this. Let's start moving in. The pastor that did end up finally coming is Polycarp, and that worked out really well. We're glad for that, but it was with many difficulties, and we really prayed during that time. Lord, how can you use all these problems? How can you bring about your word? But I believe he can. He's bigger than that.
He's bigger than our weaknesses, but not only that, he will use them. Maybe sometimes when I'm tripping over words there, it makes me more approachable for Brazilians. Oh, he's not just this American that knows everything and can do everything. Maybe those times that I have to say, look, I can't do this. Can I have somebody else do it? That involves somebody new in the church to take over that part. I am not the answer for them in everything. We went to one other conference while we were there. And this is a prayer conference that happens every 2 years. The churches are in the interior are the poorest churches. The churches in Fortaleza have more money to do things, but the churches interior don't. So we do this prayer meeting twice a year, and we find a place like this was a public school auditorium. We literally put up tents, and people tie a hammock up wherever you can put one. It's not great facilities. We had to go buy, I bought a piece of wood and some plastic to hang over some doorways just because the showers were just a shower head mounted to a wall with a wall in between them, no shower curtains or anything. So we meet in rustic areas, but these people, the reason they're praying and on their knees is because they're praying for the interior, the northeastern part of Brazil where we're at, because it is the one of the few places where kind of, if you're evangelical and you're a stronger church down south, I went to a conference down south, and they are praying for the northeastern Brazil because it's just a poor, difficult, the people are difficult, the area is difficult to live in, but that's why the people have to be strong to live there. And so these people are praying for their own people on their knees because they know that they are too weak to do what is called of him. Only the Lord can do that. In verse 10, he said, that is why, for Christ's sakes, I delight in weakness, insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Man, how do we grab that perspective? How do we come on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, make me weak so I can be strong. Lord, help me to find my strength in you. So I wrote on here, the believer's service is found in humbling themselves to the work of the Lord. I think that's our prayer. Say, Lord, humble me before you. Teach me, Lord, how that I can be that person that is actually serving you, but not to draw the glory onto myself. I don't care if the people in Croatá, Novo Russos, or Ipueiras know missionary Todd Hendry. I don't even go by Todd in Brazil. They wouldn't even know that. I go by Arthur. So as that flows more in Portuguese. But they don't need to know my name. We have a good reputation in Croatá, really great to know people there. But in the end, I want them to remember Christ, not me. This is the sacrifice that we do in life. This is what we do to understand. And then Paul was talking to the Romans, and he said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, if we go through trials, we learn not to trust in ourselves. We learn to trust more in God's word. And we can be transformed to knowing Christ even more. Remember, Paul wanted to know Christ in all of his afflictions. If Christ paid the greatest price, suffering in dying on the cross for us, what could maybe our suffering and our difficulties that God calls us to do for us too? I really believe that God doesn't waste a suffering. He doesn't waste a moment. He works through us. He will work through our sufferings, our weaknesses, And maybe the thing that you have prayed to God for a long time, Lord, take this from me. Maybe he said, actually, that's why you're useful to me. If we think that way, maybe we pray differently. I pray, Lord, take it from me, but if you don't, teach me to glorify you with it. Help me to know your will. I think it's logical that we will always want God to take the pains from us, but it's wisdom that shows us that God will use it in our lives to glorify him. He's a good God. He's a perfect God. He will show us how to use our weaknesses for his glory.